listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Two weeks ago on this show, Tony Green channeled a statement for us that if we Americans could give up fear, things would straighten out for all of us. Do you believe it's possible to give up fear? Isn't it a part of who we are as human beings? What do we use instead of fear to make sure that we stay safe and on the right track? My guest today has answers to some of these questions. Andrea Corso is here to share her journey from living her life fearfully to living it in flow. Welcome to Full Power Living. We are helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions, and we welcome your questions and comments. We have chats on blogtalkradio.com/FPL and at emotionalpro.com. And you can also call us directly, toll-free, and talk with Andrea in person, and that's 888-498-0570. 888-498-0570. And remember that we also, you can listen to our shows by subscribing on iTunes. Well, Andrea Corso is an award-winning life and leadership coach. She's got 20 years of experience working with clients, and she helps them develop themselves, their leadership skills, and advance their careers and businesses, creating whole life success. She's an expert in executive coaching, leadership development, and life coaching, and she's worked with hundreds of leaders within government agencies and in mid-size and Fortune 500 companies. She is currently owner of Andrea Corso, that's A-N-D-R-I-A, Corso, C-O-R-S-O, and Company, which is a life and leadership coaching firm that specializes in helping people reach their highest potential. Well, as if that's not enough, she's also a best-selling author. Her latest book, Fear to Flow, How to Give Up Your Struggle and Allow Life to Unfold Perfectly, is a book that we'll be talking about today, about how to stop allowing false fears to control you and instead stepping into living in the divine flow of life. She's also recently become a blogger for a Huffington Post. She's a bit of a fitness junkie. She's a lover of all things nature, and she currently resides with her husband, two dogs, and two cats in Virginia's horse and wine country. You can find her on the web at andreacorso.com. That's A-N-D-R-I-A-C-O-R-S-O, S as in Sam.com. So, Andrea Corso, it's indeed an honor to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. I'm thrilled to be here.
Great. Well, in our correspondence when we were setting up the show, you and I shared with each other that there came a point in our life when we realized we'd been living in fear our whole life. And that's when we decided that we didn't want to keep on doing that. For me, it was when I turned 50 years old and decided that I'd spent 50 years living in fear and I wanted something better for myself. What was it for you?
For me, it was the loss of my father. When he passed away, actually it was when he got sick and passed away very shortly after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, it shifted my life. You know, my father was always very healthy, health conscious, fit, and then to get such a awful diagnosis and decline and pass away so quickly, literally for me, just, you know, it's like the foundation of my life and everything I believe to be true kind of fell away. And so that shifted my perspective and made me start to see things very differently. And that's actually when I realized that I had been living my life, pretty much most of my adult life, based on these false fears that I talk about in the book.
Yes, and we'll talk about the difference between false and real fears here in a moment. So you talk a lot in the book, too, Fear to Flow, about what you did to not necessarily feel all the fear that was coming, that your pattern was to stay busy, 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 and push forward so that you didn't notice. And I wondered what other things you've, in your work, what other things do people do to not realize that they're living a life based on fear or false fear?
Well, you know, I think, like, you know, like you said, for me, I pushed it aside, and I think that's common, really common for people with maybe not even fear, but any uncomfortable emotion, because those emotions that creep up that make us feel bad, and fear is certainly one of them, we tend to ignore or talk ourselves out of or just stuff down. And I think that's a big one for, you know, many people, myself included, is just kind of stuffing it away and ignoring it and telling yourself, well, I'm not feeling it or it's not there, and to just keep moving, taking action, or, and again, it's a lot of it is taking action to avoid that potential consequence of whatever we might be fearing. Busyness is a big one for people who experience fear. You know, and again, it depends on what type of fear might be arising, but there's a lot of overwork, overwhelm for ourselves to keep going to maybe potentially prevent fear of failure, fear of loss or losing control, excessive planning. You know, if we plan enough, we feel like we can't be hit by the uncertainty or the unknown because we know everything, we've got the plan. So those are the types of things that people tend to do, or that I've seen people do and that I did personally, to kind of stuff aside or push aside those feelings of fear, things that make us feel like we are in control.
Yes. Thank you. I was aware that I had fear, and I tried to work with it. And one of the things I did was look at what had created fear, or what had allowed that fear to be in me. And I experienced some very scary things as a child, like I lost my birth mother at the age of 2. The adults around me catered to their fears. Like my grandmother said, Eileen, don't do that for fear. And so I got into the habit of fearing and thought that my fear would keep me safe. So I didn't really realize how much it dominated me, but I was, you know, as we were talking about, I was also afraid to feel the fear in me because it seemed so overwhelming and I didn't know what to do with it. Do you, in your research and thinking about this, is this true for others? Are these kinds of things what create or allow fear to grow in us?
You know, I think it's different for everyone, but I think that's very common. And I had a similar experience, as you know from reading the book. I had childhood trauma that you know, in those moments creates a very scary experience. For me, it was my parents' divorce and really losing the sense of family, my father leaving, things kind of falling apart around me. And then what happened is, like I internalize that. So I think people tend to do that. We experience the fear as a child or at a very vulnerable age in life, perhaps. And then even though in the moment it's real, you know, I did lose that sense of family. My father did leave. Things did fall apart. What ends up happening is because we internalize it, it tends to then drive our behavior as we grow, and for me it was throughout my adult life. There was always this rising fear of everything could fall apart, I might lose something, lose control, and it wasn't real though in those situations. You know, as I was living my life throughout my adulthood, it was there, but I never explored it enough to realize, wait, this isn't real. It's stories I'm making up in my head from a very old experience that I really never processed, and that it continues to drive my behavior. And I think that's often what happens, is we have these experiences or we see things around us, or like you said, you know, you hear a parent, a grandparent, someone say, you know, don't do that because, you know, you should be afraid of this. And as children and young people, we absorb this. We're like sponges. We don't really question it. We just believe it to be true. And then that drives our behavior moving forward to the point where it does become habit. It is almost unconscious many times until, like you said, you know, you reached a certain age and you were like, I'm not living this way anymore. It's like something wakes us up, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a tragedy or a loss. It often is, but sometimes it's just enough stress struggle or dissatisfaction with the way things are in your life that make you realize, wait a minute, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I want it to be different.
Well, you know, in my work as a psychotherapist these many years, not only with myself, but every other woman that I've ever worked with who turned 50, something about the magic age of 50, you say, I don't want to take another minute of BS in my life.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. So if you're young and you haven't reached that yet, just hang on until you turn 50, and then you won't want to put up with anything. You know, I have one of my daughters is visiting, and some of her friends had dinner with us last night, and these are 20-somethings, and they the young man I was talking with said that he experienced quite a bit of stress, and our talk went to the fact that stress is, I think, what you would call false fear, and we pointed out that it's that the stress largely comes from either living in the past or living in the future, but not being right here. Do you have tell us about the difference between false fear and real fear.
Yeah, so they both create stress, right? So real fear is, it's real. It's, you are in danger. It's what arises, you know, when you start to lose control of your car or you feel the tremor of an earthquake. It's your body reacts. So the part of our brain that initiates the fear response sends signals to our body that we're in danger. So then, you know, the heart starts to pump really fast, more blood to our muscles, our lungs need more oxygen because we're breathing faster. So all of these physical responses, adrenaline, they kick in because we are in danger. It's like the fight or flight response is triggered. You're prepared to fight for your life. And actually that fear is good. It's necessary for survival. You want to react that way when your life is in danger. But false fear, which is what I talk about in the book, that's the kind that comes from the stories in our head. It's the worries we create. It's the, and I say it's false evidence appearing real. It's that, that's an acronym, and I did not make that up. I heard that somewhere, false evidence appearing real. But it's fear that you might fail at something or that your spouse is going to leave you or you'll get the terminal diagnosis or fear that, you know, you won't have enough of anything. It's, again, it's the stories. It's the things we hear that we absorb and we think are true. And it, the difference, too, is like some of these false fears could actually be true. They could come true. But in the moment, they don't have any immediate basis in reality. But we believe they do. We act as though they do. And our body responds as though it's real fear. So, you know, it creates the stress response. Whether it's real fear or false fear, it's the body it responds and acts as though it's in stress. And so we're not born with false fear. We're born with real fear. That's, you know, innate to us. But false fear is something we learn. And if we attach to it enough and we, you know, buy into those stories in our head enough, we have our body in this continual stress response state. And I'm not a doctor, but I don't need to be a doctor. None of us need to be doctors to know that that's not good. You know, our body should not consistently be in that stress response.
Right.
So the idea is, you know, real fear is good, false fear is not.
Right. I think it was easier when we actually did have saber-toothed tigers, but now, now we make them up. Before I decided to aim for living a fearless, what I call a fearless life, I actually had done a lot of work on fear. I'd learned, for example, that if you ignore fear and don't look at it, it just circles around and whatever you're afraid of comes back and hits you on the back of the head. And so you can't, you know, if you ignore it, it doesn't go away is what I'm saying. And I thought I knew a lot about fear, but in retrospect, and you talk a lot about connecting the dots when you look backwards, I can see that I didn't know much about it at all because when I catered to having fear, when I allowed myself to have those false fears, I didn't experience it fully. And you make a point, we have to experience it in order to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we, like I said earlier, you know, we like to ignore the negative feelings. They don't feel good. So we're going to do what we can to avoid them. We don't want to feel sad, angry, frustrated, or fearful. We just don't. And so we tend to push those things aside when, in reality, like you said, when we do ignore them, they just keep coming back. And a lot of times, they're emotions, they're energy in motion, emotion. So they need to move, meaning move through us, be experienced, be expressed, so that they can move through us and not drive our behavior. It's like when they get stuck and they're swirling somewhere in your physical being, whether it's in your body, creating some maybe, you know, discomfort, illness, injury, or even in our mind. Because a lot of times fear swirls in our mind. And I think many of us can relate to that, waking up in the middle of the night with the worries about any number of things that really are, again, those stories. So to move through the fear or to get past it, you have to experience it. You have to, I say, feel it. So, you know, what is it you're feeling? And get curious about it. Why is it there? Is it here to teach me a lesson? Is this real? Am I really in danger? Do I really need to, you know, run for my life or make this decision to avoid a potential disaster? Or is it a story I'm making up in my head? You know, oftentimes,
you know, You're bringing up something. I was 20 years as a single parent, and I didn't have any backup from family, and I didn't have any savings, you know, so I was working and taking care of my kids. And I would get afraid about whether there would be enough money. Mm-hmm. And it strikes me as you're talking that that was a real fear. A real fear was that I had concern about making enough money to support myself and my children. But at the same time, some of the stories I made up, some of the links to which I would go in worrying were false fears. They didn't work out. I made it.
Right. And that's essentially what we realize, right? So it's this realization that, okay, I'm concerned that I'm not going to have enough money. I mean, I work with clients a lot who are in career transition, so perhaps leaving a job, a secure paying job, and maybe wanting to do something that they love or start their own business. And they have this fear of, well, what if the business doesn't work out? What if it fails? And what if I can't pay my bills? And so they take the what if the business fails, all the story becomes the business is going to fail, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, I'm going to go bankrupt, I'm going to lose my home, I'm not going to be able to support my family. It gets huge. And it's, wait a minute, it's kind of like this, let's back up. You've always been financially responsible. Just because you make a decision to change your career path, why does that suddenly mean you're going to become financially irresponsible? So we make up the stories that add to a potential real fear. Because, again, there is no evidence that the business is going to fail. It's just, it could fail. And so, what I tell my clients is, well, what would you do if it failed? Let's talk about that. Let's really go there and experience that. So then the fear, once you experience it and you kind of let yourself go there and explore it fully, it literally will stop driving your behavior. And that's one of the things I do talk about in the book, is how to move through it so it stops driving your behavior.
Right, right. And that's a process that I've learned to call facing fact. When you look squarely at something, you get free of it. So I really advocate that. We're up to our first break. And when we come back, Andrea, I would like to talk with you about how fear affects our body.
Okay.
All right. I'm talking with Andrea Corso, who's author of Fear to Flow. And you're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. Four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar.
Welcome back here on Full Power Living. I want you to call in now to talk with Andrea Corso, who's author of Fear to Flow. Use our toll-free number, which is 888-498-0570. And I have a couple of announcements here before we get back to our show. So we want to tell you about the wonderful upcoming radio shows we have for you. And there you can find out about them on our homepage at emotionalpro.com. But you can also subscribe. There's a button on the left-hand side of the homepage. And you'll see that next week, we're taking a vacation. We're going to take the last week of August off because most of you are going to be busy with back to school and Labor Day activities and breathing in the last whiffs of summer, and that's what I want to do too. So we're going to resume on September 1st when my guest is Dr. Murray Grossen, who is concerned with the resistant bacteria that are developing because of our heavy prescribing of antibiotics. And I believe this is a topic vital to all of us, especially as we face staying indoors more with other people when our seasons change. So tune in next on Thursday, September 1st at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time, for my conversation with Dr. Grossen. My guest today is award-winning life and leadership coach Andrea Corso. Her latest book, Fear to Flow, has gone to bestseller status on Amazon. And Andrea, I want to talk for just a minute about how lots of things begin to happen almost like magic when we move past fear, allowing fear to run our lives. And one of the things that recently came to you is that you're now blogging for the Huffington Post. Talk to me about how living in flow allowed you to have that opportunity.
So one of the things about living in flow involves listening to your intuition and listening to the inner guidance, the nudges we get from our heart and our gut about what to do, how to live, choices to make. And what I found was when I was living my life based on false fears, it was the voice of fear that was driving my decisions. So I couldn't hear my intuition. Or if I did, or I heard or felt the pull of my heart or my gut, the voice of fear was very overpowering, so I ignored the intuitive guidance, and I instead went with the voice of fear. And what people will discover, hopefully, by moving through their fear is that as you move through fear and you make the choice to not let it drive your life and decisions, that voice does dissipate, and the voice of your intuition rises up and becomes the louder voice. And the guidance, the intuition of taking a step, really, to perhaps get my writings to be featured on Huffington Post on a regular basis was literally just an intuitive nudge that I got when I was out running. I had been wanting to, you know, blog on a bigger platform. I do have a blog on my website, but and it was just a little voice that I hear, you know, and it was a pull of my heart to reach out and send a message and, you know, make a pitch to not just have one blog post, but just be a regular contributor. And I did that. I listened to my guidance and I got the positive response. And this just happened in the past couple of weeks. But it's one example of many that if you trust your intuition and you listen to the voice of your inner guidance, or I call it in the book, you know, your divine self versus the voice of fear, that's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself thinking, oh, I shouldn't do this because this is crazy, or, you know, Huffington Post must get a million people asking to blog, or, you know, all these things that the voice of fear will tell you. But what you find is listening to that inner guidance, that intuition, opens up doors that your fear voice will tell you will never open. You have to trust and believe.
Yes. You know, that we missed so many opportunities. Many years ago, I had a very quick job with the Army Education Center as people were ready to leave the Army as the Vietnam War ended. And my job was to help people figure out what they wanted to do after they got out of the Army. So I gave them these psychological tests. And I got very little supervision, so I decided to give them the results the way I wanted to, which was to sit them down and ask them what their dream was. If they could do anything, what did they want to do? And almost to a person, the dream fit the results of the tests that I gave them. And yet, the minute they gave me the dream, I don't think it took more than a minute for most people to begin to talk themselves out of it, saying, I can't do it because I don't have enough money, I'm too old, I'm too young, my husband won't let me, whatever, my wife won't let me. And it was astounding to me that we close ourselves off. That was probably due to fear at any rate. We have the dream and then we say we can't possibly do it and we just close off.
That's very true, very true. I see it a lot. And we often don't even realize that it's fear. We wouldn't sit here and say, oh, well, I didn't explore my dream or take the step because I was afraid. We just have all the excuses, the reasons my husband won't let me, my wife won't let me, I don't have enough money. But if you go deeper beneath that, it's, you know, and again, like if you explore it, it might be, well, I'm afraid if I even make the decision, my husband will reject me or my wife will reject me. There's that fear of rejection or loss or whatever it may be, but we do talk ourselves out of it, almost unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Well, so repeatedly, and especially lately on this show, we have been getting the message from a lot of people that if you want to conquer any problem, you have to open up now to your larger self, to work with the divinity or God, and to seeing yourself as human and also something larger than human, and that is where flow is also. Is that not so?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that the inner guidance, the intuition is, you know, the voice of God or our voice that is connected to divinity. And that is what's going to lead us into our most fulfilling life, our purpose, our flow. And that, again, to heed that and even hear it, we have to be willing to allow it to be the louder voice than the voice of fear. But it, yes, that is exactly what being in the flow is, living in the divine flow of life, is being connected to that greater, higher power, that divinity.
Yes. Now, a short while ago, you brought up the idea that emotions are energy, energy and motion. I totally agree. That's the way I work with them also. And we've also talked about how we need to experience them. But so many of us stifle them or push them down. So what happens then is that energy or those emotions, the energy of those emotions, get stuck in our body. Mm-hmm. And a vital part of moving through fear is sitting with your fearful feelings and allowing yourself to feel them. So I wanted you to talk about what is our body's relationship with fear, start to finish?
Well, again, I'm not going to speak about this from like a real fear perspective, because our body's relationship to real fear and when we are in danger, we want it to react in all of those
right.
ways and propel us into action. But when we feel false fear, and I can just share this, you know, from my own personal experience, it feels differently to each of us. So that's something else is that that's why when I talk about it in the book, you know, you really have to sit with the fear and the feeling and experience it and feel it, because for me it's very much a feeling in my, you know, solar plexus gut area. That's where it's like a tight, tense, clenched feeling. Some people feel it in neck, shoulders, you know, everyone's different. And but you feel it, and then instead of allowing yourself to actually pause and wait and experience it and say, okay, let me experience what is going on, question it, be curious about it, we cut it off, and so it gets stuck, right? So it gets stuck. Now, I'm not saying it gets stuck. I don't know. It gets stuck there in your body, but it does get stuck somewhere in our bodies, because that feeling, that tension, that reaction is your body is giving you a message about something, whether it's, again, real or just a thought you're thinking. And mm-hmm. if you don't process it and allow it to work its way out of you, it will stay there. I write about in the book how I experienced a running injury. And it was a running injury, but it was an injury that lingered excessively long, and I attributed it to my fear of moving forward in my life, taking the steps that my intuition, my divine self was leading me to take because I was afraid. And that's often what tends to happen, is you'll get an illness. Sometimes it's an acute illness. Sometimes it's a chronic illness. I mean, I've worked with some of my clients have had, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome, all of these things that really, when they work through them, are energy or emotions that are just stuck in their body. And once we allow the experience of the emotion, doesn't have to be fear, but it often is, we find that our injuries, our illnesses, our chronic backache, whatever it may be, starts to disappear because we're releasing that dense energy that's in our body.
Right. You know, you in your recounting of what has happened in your life in your book, you seem to me to be going through two processes. One had to do with your father's death and also the illness and death of your dog, who is more like a son to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, years ago, I went through a process that my therapist called the identity crisis process, and you talk about Martha Beck and her life change cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me you were going through that, which is a specific phase, you know, you fall apart, you go through an empty place, you start rebuilding, and you also shifted from living in fear to not living in fear. Now, the life change cycle is a very intense process, as I know it, but I was wondering, do you think that merely deciding, I'm putting merely in quotes, merely deciding to stop having fear or to stop having false fear is as intense as what you went through?
I don't know that it has to be. I think because of the way it happened in my life, because it coincided with this intense period of loss for me, it was obviously an intense time.
Mm-hmm.
For my own journey, I honestly, you know, now you're making me think, like, I don't know, had I not gone through the loss of both my father and my dog within weeks of each other and then being sick at the same time and all of that, I don't know that I would have recognized or had the, you know, epiphany moment of, oh my gosh, I'm living my life based on all this fear. For me, I think that's how it needed to happen.
Yes. All right.
But I don't know that it
reminds me. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't know that it needs to be that intense for everyone.
Right, right. You remind me that that same therapist used to say, I don't believe people go through any more than they have to in order to grow.
Exactly. I totally believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that. Thank you for that reminder. Well, now we talked about before, and you mentioned this, in fear to flow. To get beyond anything on the earth, we have to go through it. So to get beyond fear, we have to go through it. And you have a 5 key steps for moving through fear. And I wondered if you would tell me and my listeners what those 5 steps are.
Sure. So the first step, and you mentioned this, it's to actually sit with your feelings and to sit with the fear. And you know, that's literally, it's the acknowledgement of it. I'm feeling this fear. Sometimes it's just the acknowledgement of it. You know, you name it, you claim it. It actually starts to lose some of its power over you. And essentially that's the first step, the acknowledgement of it. The second step is to allow the feelings to be felt without judgment. So you acknowledge that you're experiencing fear, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to feel this. I'm not going to judge myself for it, because we often do that. I shouldn't be feeling this way. Shouldn't I be over this by now? Why am I still afraid of this? Just let it be felt. Again, remember, it's like, well, you're going through this, and I describe it in a lot more detail in the book, but it's like this, just remembering that it's energy in motion. It's just an emotion. It just wants to move. And then the next thing is to go to the bottom of the fear. And I describe this in great detail, because this is about, I talked a little bit about it earlier, really exploring that fearful emotion. Is it fact? Is it fiction? If it's, you know, fiction, is that enough for you to move past it? Or do you need to just go a little further and actually explore, what would I do if this actually happened? Because often when we go to the depths and the bottom of it and ask those questions, how would I feel? What would I do? We find out that we're pretty resilient, and also that the fear is usually a lot worse when it's swirling in our head than if it actually played out. And you can probably think back over your life to examples of when something you feared actually came true, or things fell apart and you survived. So that's the whole idea with getting to the bottom of it. It's really to explore what you would do. Again, so it helps it lose its power. The fourth step is to imagine those emotions kind of leaving your body. Like, as you're doing all this, you just want to sometimes you have to move your body, but it's literally, you can visualize the negative, fearful emotion leaving your body. And then finally, the fifth step would be to get support, because sometimes this is not an easy thing to do alone. I had a huge support system. At the time when my father had passed, I went to grief counseling. I mean, there's professionals out there who can help if it's too difficult for people to go through these things on their own.
Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you for that. And so we do all of this so we can become part of flow, and we're up to our second break. I'd like to, we're going to find out more about flow when we come back. Andrea Corso is my guest today, and her book is Fear to Flow, and you're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm talking today with best-selling author of Fear to Flow and award-winning life and leadership coach Andrea Corso about what she learned in her journey from living life based on fear to living life in flow. So, Andrea, to live in flow, you have to live in the present. You have to allow and accept things and be patient, in addition to giving up your old patterns, that the ones that we have thought would be keeping us safe in our life. And it's not an easy road. So why would people want to move to flow?
Oh, because it's so much better than living in fear. Really, I take it from me. I was the biggest skeptic, and then I wrote a book about it. Because that's really where life is. We are not here to be living in fear. We are not here to feel uptight and struggle. And, I mean, that's just not what life is about. It is about being in the present and being in the moment and experiencing what shows up, even if it's not what we necessarily wanted to show up. But that's life. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yes, that's really true. And when we operate on fear, we actually have this illusion that we do control things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And we don't.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't happen. So you also talk about allowing and accepting, and
mm-hmm.
and that has to do with what you're talking about being allowing ourselves to be led divine and accepting that we're not in control.
Yeah.
And I'm in a big change in my life right now where I'm allowing and accepting. And now here's an interesting thing. I find a lot of people express fear on my behalf. I'm 73 years old. If you get in a van and you go traveling, you're going to have to always park somewhere near a doctor so you can get your prescriptions refilled. And I just look at them and say, I don't have any prescriptions. So, not a problem. But they get afraid on my behalf. I'm an older woman who's going to be traveling alone, and I should be fearful. And I just say, no, I'm going to be fine. No problem.
Absolutely. And that's actually, it's funny you bring that up, because I find that to be a big challenge for me as well. It's not allowing other people's fear into my space, because we live in a world where it's a fear culture. We turn on the TV, we get on social media, and it's just everybody, we need to be afraid of everything. So we really have to take care of ourselves. And again, tune in, like go within. You know, Eileen, you're going to be fine. You know how it feels. You feel the pull to travel. So there is no
yes.
fear there. And it's really just paying attention to what's within as opposed to the external, which really wants you to be afraid.
But I think a lot of people also, and this would be a good thing to point out, a lot of people will then stand out among others, among their friends and their community and their family. They'll stand out as somebody who, quote, doesn't have the good sense to be afraid. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I shouldn't laugh, because that's true. I mean, and I would say, okay, so if you were going to stand out, you know, it's like, what is there to really be? I would question, as a coach, I ask a lot of questions, but then I would question back, you know, what is there really to be afraid of? And so, and go again to the, and, you know, what would you do if suddenly, you heaven forbid, needed a doctor? You'd find a doctor. Like, it's the stories, and it's just allowing those stories to drive us versus allowing our gut and our heart to pull us. And I tell people too, you know, when you start doing this and start, okay, I'm going to pay attention to my inner guidance, I'm going to pay attention to my inner intuition, and a lot of times it's you're operating on blind faith because you don't have any proof that if you do that, you're actually going to be okay. So you have to take you have to take a little bit of a risk. And then eventually you will see that that is the way that's going to lead you on your best path and to your best life, so that eventually you do have the evidence. You've got facts and proof that when I listen to my intuition and I go this way, I am led the right way.
Right.
Versus if I listen to fear, I'm safe all the time, and but I feel terrible, you know?
And you make a really big point that I think needs to be pointed out too, which is that your divine intuition, your inner self, really does not lead you down any path where you're going to be hurt.
No, and here's the thing, and I write about this in the book, the more you start to pay attention to your divine self, your inner guidance, and you compare that to the voice of fear or your ego, you start to be very, it becomes very clear. There are discerning indicators in your body, in your just you know. Again, you have to test it out in the beginning, but you start to know, so that you know, Eileen, like your divine self is like, we need to travel, and we're traveling.
Right.
And you will be led. You will know where to go. You will know how to be safe. And it's just, you know, trusting and believing in that and knowing you're not going to be led down a path of danger or things that are not safe.
Yes, yes. And I have feelings like that already as I'm preparing for it too. So suppose I'm a person, a mother or a father, and I live in my home and I work at my job every week and I have a couple of kids, and I'm not in fear, I'm in flow. What might my life be like? What would that flow do for me?
So flow, the way I describe it is it's moving with the natural stream or current of life, aligning with one's authentic life, kind of your own rhythm and acting and living from that place. And so it looks very different for everybody because we're all here for very different reasons. And it doesn't, I would say, whether you're, you know, a parent, not a parent, have children, a job, it's a feeling. It's the way you feel about the way your life is unfolding. And for me, you know, flow is, and I'm not going to say it's always easy, and it's certainly not, because a lot of times things show up like we talked about, you know, life happens, and you have to be able to say, okay, why is this showing up? Why am I experiencing this, you know, I'll just give an example. One of my other dogs just a few months back was diagnosed with cancer again. And, and it was, so here we are again, a short 2 years, not even 2 years after we went through the other experience with my dog who I wrote about in the book. And I was not, obviously I resisted. I was not, it didn't feel like flow, but I had to keep myself in the present moment and say, okay, why is this showing up? What's the soul lesson? Because my belief is we're here to experience soul growth and soul lessons, and so everything that shows up for us is an opportunity to learn and grow. I had to be there in that moment and say, here this is again for me. Why is it showing up? What do I still need to learn? And go with how to treat my dog, what path we were going to take, what was going to be best for her, from that place of my divine self and inner guidance. So as a parent living your life, it's just a moment-by-moment choice of whether you're going to choose to react and live from fear or you're going to choose to react and live in the flow. And as you make more choices, what you see unfolding in your life is more synchronicities, more ease, things showing up, people showing up, opportunities showing up. It doesn't mean nobody's going to get sick and nobody's going to get hurt and the dog's not going to be diagnosed with cancer again. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that the way you choose to look at situations and live is from a place of flow and not fear.
You know, I'd like to give an example of things showing up that happened in my life just this week.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, since I'm moving out of my house, we're going to remake a little fence in the front. So I have a young college student who's been helping me this summer. And there was some mold on a panel in my garage, and I asked him to help me tear it apart so we could see what was going on. And lo and behold, there was a big leak going on behind it under my home. And while we were tearing the fence down, one neighbor showed up, said, "What are you doing?" and looked at what we were doing and said, "You need more garbage cans. I'll bring you two of mine," right? And then we got to the leak, and I called my neighbor from across the street who has some knowledge in this area, and he said, "Okay, I'm not familiar with this particular setup, so you need to call a plumber. Here's a number, and I'll turn the water off to your house. But there's a hose on the side of my house. Help yourself. Get as much water as you need." So then another neighbor came by, and we said, "We don't have any water." The next morning, my daughter and I are eating breakfast on the deck, and she comes out on her deck and calls over and says, "So, do you need to take a shower, and would you like some cantaloupe and coffee?" Right? And then another neighbor drives by and says, "We have been researching what kind of a printer you can have in your RV, and we've got some information for you, so stop in." I mean, that was within 2 days. Now, the bad news was we did without water for 2 days. But the good news was we had all these people lovingly looking after us.
Isn't that amazing? I love it. But that's what happens. That's what happens. It's a great example.
That was so wonderful. I just wanted to put that in there. So what you did is what you're doing in your book is you're taking your own life experience and showing people how to move. You give steps, you give things to do, you give support, and then you also talk about how you've moved through. And clearly, like you said, I'm sorry to hear about your dog. Life doesn't stop giving us challenges, but when you're in flow, those challenges are easier, in my experience. Would you say?
I would completely agree. Because you see, you're within the moment, but you see beyond. Because you see the things, like you said, the blessings showing up around the challenges.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for sharing those deep experiences. I mean, it's something to expose yourself to the world, writing all of this down. And Fear to Flow is available on your website, AndreaCorso.com, and also Amazon.com, I assume. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay. And so those of you who are listening, the name of the book is Fear to Flow, How to Give Up Your Struggle and Allow Life to Unfold Perfectly. And Andrea's website is A-N-D-R-I-A-C, as in coconut, O-R-S, as in Sam, O.com, AndreaCorso.com. So, Andrea, thank you so much for generously sharing your life and yourself, and I've really enjoyed having you as my guest today on Full Power Living.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, next week, we encourage you to enjoy the last moments of your summer, and then join us again on September 1st. For my discussion with Dr. Murray Grossen about drug-resistant germs and bacteria and what we can do about this trend in medicine. Thank you so much for listening. Tell your friends and family about us and our shows, and I look forward to having you with us again on September 1st at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, and for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.